All right, if you'll open up your Bibles, we're going to turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So we went over a little bit last week the history of James. We learned about this author of James, that it was the half-brother of Jesus. And we got to know him a little bit better so that we could respect the words that he is writing to us. He's writing to the scattered, and we know what it's like to be scattered abroad. There are Christians all over the world in every nation, tribe, and tongue. We're the scattered abroad, the Christians, the servants of God, the slaves of Jesus Christ. And I have really fallen in love with the teachings of James, because once you know his devotion unto God and to Christ, you are just really amazed at how God changed him. So we know that James is the half-brother of Jesus, that the earliest, it was one of the earliest books of the New Testament that was written, or letters that was written, probably written around the same time as Paul's letter to Galatians, which was approximately A.D. 48. It was written by James. It was one of the last to be introduced into the canon, probably because they didn't know that it was going to be, they didn't know that it was James, the brother of Jesus, that had written it. But once confirmation, once that was established, they included it in the canon of Scripture, and we're so grateful, because the teachings and the writings of James balances out the writings of Paul. And, it really balances out grace. Paul teaches and declares a lot about grace, and then James comes in and says, yes, but there's fruit, there's works that should balance, that should follow your teachings on grace. And so it needed to be in the canon of Scripture, and we're so thankful that it is in the canon of Scripture, because once again, faith without works is dead. And it's necessary to understand they go hand in hand. They hold hands. Faith will have fruit. It's impossible not to. When you've given your whole life to Jesus and surrendered it by faith, then he fills you with his life, his spirit, and the presence of God will produce fruit. It's impossible not to be a producing fruit when you're in Christ Jesus. You will have fruit. So James was among the group that gathered on the day of Pentecost, the half-brother, once again, of Jesus. And he took over the leadership of the Jerusalem church after Peter left Palestine. James presided over the Jerusalem council. This is written in Acts 15, if you want to go there and read at some point, where the church leaders reached an agreement for the basis of Christian fellowship. James is concerned in this letter with a practical, ethical life. The necessity of faith is not negated by James, but James does insist that a genuine faith must produce results of good works. We also learned last week that James was, because of his love for the Lord, was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple, to which his body suffered great damage. He was broken, and to which he gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They stoned him because he did not die once he was thrown off the pinnacle of the temple. And he began praying for him, for all the people, began praying that the Father would forgive them. And he saw he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, very similar to what Stephen saw. And then it says that out of mercy, someone grabbed a club and bashed his head in. And that's how James, the half-brother of Jesus, actually died. He considered himself a slave to Jesus Christ. He considered Jesus no longer just an earthly brother, but his Lord, God, and Master. And that is James. And that is to be honored and reverenced and respected, this man of God who lived a life of faith with lots of fruit that followed. Amen. 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 So we're going to open up. We're going to verse 1. We read the first verse last week, and we're going to go to chapter 2. I'm not going to keep you too long, but we're going to talk about trials and temptations today. And I'm going to read just a little portion of this of this chapter, because I don't feel like we're probably going to get all of it done today. So we'll just do as the Spirit of the Lord leads. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort. Now, the New Living Translation puts it this way: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The Amplified puts it this way, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be a people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. So let perseverance finish its work, so you that may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildfire. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. But blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. So I'm going to stop right there, because I think we'll do good to get through just that little portion of scripture. So trials and temptations. James wants to address trials and temptations. Now, we are human beings, and we all go through trials. We are in a fallen world. It's a part of living in this life. Trials are present. Temptations are present. So I think it's interesting, and it's very intriguing, that James starts out his letter pretty straightforward, kind of like we talked about some of the nicknames that he had. One of his nicknames is James the Just. And he opens up his letter just as straightforward as can be, and he opens it up talking about trials and temptations. Many people start off a letter, not very many people start off a letter by talking about trials and temptations. It's kind of like somebody writing a book called The God of Uncomfortable Places. Who's going to read that? Right? The title itself is almost something that you don't really want to study. You know, it's not like 10 ways to have a successful life or 10 ways to be famous or popular. You know, James is just straight up with us. And his character proves that he is loyal. He is faithful unto Christ, and he has this amazing tact of giving it to us straight. And I kind of like that. I don't know about you. I'm not one that, like, you know, you don't have to sugar it up for me. You don't have to sugarcoat it. I just speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Tell me the truth, because I'm able to handle the things that are going to happen if you go ahead and just tell me it straight up. I can go ahead and prepare. I can go ahead and make a decision. I can go ahead and resolve in my mind. So James is saying, you're going to go through trials and you're going to go through temptations. And now he's going to tell them how to overcome it. He's going to tell them where these temptations are coming from, the difference between trials and the difference between temptations, the difference between testing and temptations. And he's going to give us great understanding so that we have wisdom to walk out this life of faith and have the fruit, the byproduct of a life of faith. So it's a strange way to open up a letter, and it does get our attention, right? I want to tell you about trials. And I'm like, whoa, okay, James, tell us about trials. And then he starts out with this liner, consider it joy. Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces something. It produces perseverance. James the Just, he's going to tell us about perseverance. He knows something about perseverance. And he's wanting the body of Christ to mature. He's wanting them to grow into the image and the likeness of Jesus. He's wanting them to have the character of Christ. And he's saying, you're going to go through some things in this world. You're going to go through trials, you're going to go through testings, you're going to go through temptation, but consider it all joy. Consider it joy. Not the situations are joyful. He's not saying, oh, be joyful in your temptation or be joyful in your testing. What he's saying is this test or trial is going to produce something joyful in you that you will appreciate. It's going to bring you a character trait of Jesus. And that is going to be joyful to you. And I don't know about you, but the character trait that he speaks of is perseverance. So because it's going to produce this Christ-like character in us, we're to consider it joy. And this is very similar to what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12 and 2, when he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the what? The joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he's saying, look, Jesus considered the joy that would come in giving his life for all mankind. The joy that it would give the Father when he did the will of the Father. The joy of the salvation of mankind. So the trial, the suffering that he went through, he had to think it through in that garden. He was travailing before God. He was travailing, saying, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. He had to come to a place in his life, and so will you, when the trial that you're going through, you're able to consider it to be a joyful thing, because at some point, it's going to benefit you, and it's going to benefit other people. I would not be here today without perseverance. I would not be here today without a continuation of pressing through difficult things and hard things and difficult seasons. And I would not be here as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ if I had not determined in my heart that for the joy of spreading the gospel and the joy of pleasing the Father and the joy of knowing that someone was going to be touched and changed by God because of my obedience to the Lord, I was willing to go through it. This perseverance is a work that must be developed in us through trial. It doesn't come just, you know, somebody waving an anointing cloth over you. No, it comes by going through it, being willing to go through it, being willing to persevere. Let perseverance finish its work. Finish it so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So that tells us how important perseverance is, right? Are you not here today because you persevered? How many trials have you been through? How many opportunities did you have to quit? How many times did you think, I don't know if I can keep going? But you kept going because of perseverance. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a character trait of Christ. Perseverance. What does perseverance mean? The definition of perseverance is to pursue steadily any design or course, not to give over or abandon what is undertaken. You know, we want to go all the way through. And persistence, which is connected, perseverance has another word connected to it called persistence. Persistence in anything undertaken. Continued pursuit of any business or enterprise begun. Applied, it can also be applied alike to good or evil. Some persevere and pursue evil, and they get the fruit of that. Some persevere and continue on in Christ, and they get the fruit of that, right? We want to persevere in Christ. We want to keep going in the name of Jesus. Perseverance keeps honor bright. Patience and perseverance overcome the greatest of difficulties. All through the scriptures, you see godly men and women who persevered under trial and under temptation. They persevered. They were willing to continue moving forward in their relationship with Jesus. And for those who turned around, the end was not well. Perseverance is a required trait of the kingdom of God. For those who faint in the day of adversity, their strength is small. We must persevere. We must be willing to face whatever comes. We who know that the return of Christ will not only be accompanied by glory, we also know it will become accompanied by difficulty. So perseverance is essential as we get closer and closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ. We must persevere in our faith. We must. In theology, to continue, perseverance means to continue in a state of grace until you reach to a state of glory. Don't you love that? Continue on in grace and persevere until you reach a state of glory. And sometimes this is called the final perseverance. When you stand before God, when you cross over from this life into the next, that's the final perseverance, the final push. You made it. There's a song that says, when my faith will end inside, just inside. Until then, it's faith and perseverance, holding hands, moving us forward with Christ, keeping us on that straight and narrow road, not being distracted by all the things around us, but continuing on in our relationship with Jesus. Let perseverance finish its work. Let it finish its work. This is very important. You will need to accomplish every task with perseverance. It takes perseverance. And without perseverance, you will not finish the course. At some point, you will give up. You will grow faint. You will grow weary. You must use this anointed perseverance through the Holy Spirit to finish your course. There are days I don't feel like doing the dishes, but I persevere. There are days I don't want to make my bed, but I persevere. There are days that I don't want to clean my house, but I persevere. There are days, guys, when you're tired of changing the oil in the car and you don't want to do it, or you don't want to mow the grass, or you don't want to do some of the chores around the house, but guess what? You persevere. Now, if we need perseverance in just daily life, how much more do we need the perseverance that comes with serving God? So that we can finish our course. We want to finish We want to finish. Let it finish its work. You will need perseverance to finish your spiritual course. And this is what the Daniel Webster's Dictionary alludes to. This is where this definition comes when he says the final perseverance. And this is Daniel Webster's Dictionary written in 1828. And often they use scripture to back up the definitions of these words. So his definition is to continue in a state of grace until you reach a state of glory. You need the Holy Spirit. You need God's grace to persevere and finish your course. You cannot make it on your own. You do not, your natural body must have inside, through the seed of God and through the Holy Spirit, the perseverance to complete your faith. The natural body grows weak. Our emotions get weary. We get tired. You persevered to be here this morning. You made a decision to come. You overrode any feelings of, I'm too tired today. I just can't do it. No, you didn't ask your emotions how you felt. They were telling you, I'm sure, I'm tired. It was a long day yesterday. I'm wore out. I don't know that I really want to go to church this morning. I don't know. You said, I'm not giving you a say. I'm going to persevere. And you didn't miss the glory. You stayed with God and you obeyed His voice and not your emotions. And that's very similar to what the Apostle Paul referred to as he was coming to the end of his life. And that's exactly what Daniel Webster is alluding to when he talks about finishing the final perseverance and coming to the end of your life and completing it. When Paul is talking to Timothy, he says this, "But you, Timothy, be sober in all things and endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. For I am ready, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. From now on, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge will reward me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who crave and long and love His appearing." There is a push to finish. Just like giving birth to a child, there's a final push before the baby actually is birthed. There is a pushing. There is a continuation. There is a bringing forth, a willingness, a desire, a perseverance to complete your course. And Paul had to look beyond all the things that he was going through. He was in prison. He was getting ready to be beheaded. He was getting ready to die for the cause of Christ. He was getting ready to suffer greatly, but he looked beyond all the present pressing of emotions and feelings and threats and all of the things that were coming against him. And he said, I'm going to see ahead of me this joyous occasion when I see Christ. I've finished my course here. I've done what God has asked me to do. I'm finishing my faith, and henceforth is laid for me a crown of righteousness. There's joy. There's the final push of perseverance to obtain the glory. You're going to need it. You've needed it already. You're going to need it until you take your last breath. Perseverance, the willingness never to back down or quit or give up in the face of opposition or difficulty. You're going to need perseverance. I need it. I've had plenty of times to turn around in my life. There have been plenty of opportunities. But you see the difference between the enemy's temptation. Temptation comes to destroy you because it's brought forth by the enemy out of something inside of you that you want. But trials and testings come to equip you. They're from God. They're there to make you strong. They're there to increase God's character inside of you. Trials and testings from the Lord produce the character of God. Temptations come from within, out of emotions and longings and desires and wants. And the enemy gives opportunity for the temptation that's within. And it's to destroy. Temptations come to destroy. Testings come to build character. That's very important. Know the difference. Know the difference. Paul said, I tell you what, I've finished. I've fought a good fight. Why, if it wasn't a fight, he wouldn't have said it. It's a fight to do the will of God. It's a fight to keep steady on the course when you want to turn around or when it's difficult or when it's hard or when your friends have left and your family have left and people have made fun of you and they say, are you just going to keep following that Jesus? Are you going to, it may cost you your life one day to follow Jesus. It's always cost our life. Always. It will always cost. When you bowed before the altar, you gave him your life. It cost you your life. You gave it to him. You said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God. Jesus gave everything for you. And for you to finish your course, you'll give everything for Jesus. And that's love. That is love. It's a perseverance by love. It's a continuation by love. The narrow path has no room for my will and God's. My will has to surrender to God. And that will cost. But he gives us grace and more grace to persevere. Perseverance gives us the ability to not just start well, but to finish well. To press through pain, difficulty, weariness, and even persecution. To press through, to press through, to press through. To press through. In a state of God's grace, by faith, until we finally come to a place of persevering glory. Paul again makes this statement in Philippians 3:17. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom's sake I have lost all things. Can you lose everything and still persevere? We may be faced with that. The early church was faced with losing their possessions, losing their life for the cause of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the gospel. They had to persevere through punishment and torture and a government that oppressed them. Paul says, I consider it mere garbage, the things that I once thought were important to me and the status that I had and the things that were so valuable to me. He says, I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith. Faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Listen, if you're going to know Christ, you're going to have to persevere in your knowledge of Christ, in your time with Christ. It's a persevering in the prayer chamber. It's a persevering. There are days when I just have to make myself sit down in the presence of the Lord because there's all these things. Tammy talked about this morning. All these distractions, all of these things, pulling on my time, pulling on my attention, pulling, pulling, pulling. You have to persevere until you say, no, this is important to me. God is important to me. He is a pursuit, a desire, a longing, a want. He's more important than life and breath. Paul said, I just, everything is done to me in order that I might know him, that I might gain Christ, that I'm, all these things mean nothing if I don't know him. All of the things I want. And yes, I have natural wants. I have things that I would like to have. I have things that I would like to do. And there's nothing wrong with some with those things until it gets to the place that you want those things more than you want God. God loves to give good gifts to his children. He loves to provide things for us. He loves to give special gifts. Have you ever gotten something special from the Lord? Maybe it was something that you just wanted. And I did this weekend. I went to Goodwill, and I have a lamp upstairs that I'd bought at a Habitat for Humanity store, and I never had a lampshade that looked right on it. This is a woman thing, guys. I'm sorry. I'll try to bring a tractor up or something later, but... You know, and I look at this lamp and I like that lampshade that's on there, it ain't right. It's wrong. It's all wrong. But I couldn't find one. And when I went online to look for one, it was so expensive. And I'm like, I can't pay that for a lampshade. I got more important things to buy, like gas. Right? Right? Okay? So I run to Goodwill. I'm just looking. And behold. I walk in and look on this table, and there is the perfect lampshade for this lamp. It's exactly what I would have ordered online. It's got little Victorian scallops on it. It's perfect. And I'm like, Jesus, you did that. It's $3 and something, affordable. I mean, I was like, this is from the Lord, people. And I grabbed that lampshade. I went marching up to that checkout, and I was like, Daddy, you took care of me today. This is a gift. And I knew it was a gift. You see, God is a good father. He's a beautiful father. He's a loving father, and he loves to give good gifts to his children. James even mentions that. He gives good gifts to his children, but he also knows how to raise mature adults, mature people of faith. He does not want the church he doesn't want a person that got saved and stay a little boy and girl in the faith for the rest of their life. He wants disciples, people that will be raised up mature. Do you want your children to stay in diapers all the time? Do you want your children to be walking around in diapers when they're 40? Daddy don't either. He wants mature men and women of God. So he's willing to allow us to go through tests and trials in order to produce the character and the nature of Jesus inside of us. And the fruit of the Spirit and the character traits that Christ walked in only come through trial. You don't persevere without a difficulty. You don't have a victory without a battle. These things are developed. They're developed in the believer. Difficulty is necessary, just as necessary as beautiful gifts and kind acts from the Father. His mercy has been given to us every day of our life. Don't overlook it. The land that you have, God gave it to you. The place where your house is, the cars that you drive, the sun that comes out every day, the rain that falls and waters the crops, the smell of food and the smell of flowers. These are all gifts from the Father. They're around us every day. Don't ignore them. They're gifts from the Father. Why is it when he asks us, it's kind of like when I ask my kids to take out the trash and they're like, when it gets to a place that God is requiring more from us because he's wanting us to grow up and mature and to be disciples, why is it that we pull back and recoil? Why? Because the flesh does not want to grow up. It loves fun
and it loves in maturity. But Father is a good Father. And He not only gives good gifts, He also gives you trials and tests to teach you how to persevere, to overcome, and to walk in the character of Jesus. It's needful. It's needful. The difficult times where perseverance is needed, you will learn more about God in those times than you ever have on top of the mountain. Because at a graveside, God is there. Because at a sick bed, He's there. God is there. He speaks. He's there. Through the valleys, you learn that He is with you through the shadow of death. Through those restful places by still streams, He's a comforter. I want to know the character of God in every season. I want to know Him. That was Paul's cry. There's more to know about God, he said, and I want to know. And so I'm willing to persevere through whatever comes my way in order that I might obtain Him. I want to know Christ. Yes, know the power of His resurrection and participation in His what? Sufferings. The word we hate. Don't tell me I'm going to have to suffer. I don't want to suffer. We recoil. Paul said, you see, I want to know you in the greatness of who you are, in the glory and the splendor of your presence, just like this morning. But I also want to know you in a prison where most of the epistles were written, and on a chopping block where my head may have to be laid down for the cause of Christ. I want to have the perseverance to finish my course with joy and perseverance. So we press on, Paul said. He says, I don't think I've obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but there's one thing I do. I press on, I persevere to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ Jesus took hold of you. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws him. Christ Jesus took hold of you. And Paul said, you took hold of me, and now I want to know why you took hold of me. I want to keep going on. I want to know God. I want to know Christ, and I want to know the reason that you took hold of me, and I want to give everything back to you. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but there is one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize. I press on to the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make it clear. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let's persevere. Let's press on.
Let's keep going. Let's allow him to develop us through trial, through difficulty, into the image and the likeness of his son. Let's not quit. Let's not back down. We need the trials because we need the development of Christ inside of us. Let this endurance and steadfastness and patience, this perseverance, have full play and do a thorough work so that we will be a people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. And I say to the saints of God, persevere. You've come this far. Don't turn around now. There's a song that says, I've come too far to turn back now. If we can pull back the veil, we would see that there is an appointed time and season which Christ will come, and it could be any moment. Though there are things that will take place as we get closer to the end of time, there will be a day when Christ will return. And we want to have persevered with the final glory in front of us all the way to the end. We don't want to give up when we're so close to the finish line. My son used to run track, and I would watch him run the 400. And he would run and run. That's why Paul uses that analogy of a race. And he would get closer and closer to the finish line. And he was not to slow down because the tape was there or the line was there. No, no. Just because that tape was there or that line was there, you didn't slow down. You ran through it. And you ran through it as fast as you were running the race. There's no place to give up now, because if we could see how close we were to the return of Christ, if we could see it, though I believe with all my heart, God is revealing it to this generation how close we are. He is revealing it for those who have an eye to see and an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Many are not wanting Christ to return because they want to hold on to this world and they love their systems of men. But the King is returning. And it will be those that persevere in their faith. Jesus said that those who persevere and who overcome, right? They're going to be with him. And we want to complete our course. We want to finish so that we can be a part of his glory. Let's stand up. Father, I'm so grateful that this author, James, not only did he know what it was like to persevere until the end, but he challenges us today, and it's so relevant today. It's just as relevant today as it was when he wrote it. That we would continue on, that we would allow the trials and the difficulties to produce a Christ-like character in us, and that through the walking out of our faith with a perseverance to know Christ, we would be conformed and changed into your image and your likeness until we reach the final destination, the final perseverance, which is eternity. We press on. We won't back down. We won't quit now. Because we're so close to the return of Jesus. We don't want
to quit right at the end of the race. We want to be like Paul. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. And I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But not just for me alone. For all of those who will persevere in their faith. For all of those who will cleave to Christ in the midst of difficulty. For all of those who will continue on in Jesus. Not renouncing Him. Not giving up. Not going backwards. But moving forward, pressing on to the goal, the high calling of God, which is in Christ. May we persevere, Lord. May we not back away from the trials or the difficulties that ultimately will bring forth the glory of God and the Christ-like character in our life that we are desperately needing to see this hour in the saints of God that were shown so vividly in the demonstrations of the apostles and all of those martyrs and people of faith who have went on before us. You have need of perseverance and patience that after you finish the course, you will receive the promise. Selah. Thank you for the Holy Spirit aiding us along. For those that have walked away, you're listening on radio, maybe you're listening on Facebook, and you walked away from Christ. There was a time in your life when you were fervent after Him. You were pursuing the things of God, but the distractions and the cares of this world and the offenses have hindered you. You've stopped walking with Christ. You've stopped pursuing Him. You've stopped pressing on to know Him. I am telling you, the day of the Lord's return is nearing, and the difficulties are coming, and you will need the power of the Holy Spirit to persevere. Return to the Lord. Surrender your heart back unto God. Allow Him to fill you again with the Holy Spirit and the passion of God that will be needed in order to finish your course. Return to the Lord. For those that do not know the Lord, I pray that you will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you will hear the true reality that you are a sinner, and unless you come to Jesus and accept the sacrifice that He gave His life in exchange, He gave His death in exchange for your life. He took away your sins on the cross, and if you'll accept Him into your heart, He'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll fill you with the power of His Spirit, and He'll give you a new life. This is the requirement for anyone to be saved. You must repent of your sins and accept Jesus into your heart and your life, because He is the only atonement, this only sacrifice that God the Father will accept. And when that blood is applied to your life, He will forgive you of your sins, and you will know what it is like to have eternal life. I pray that you would come today. You know that right now your life is a train wreck. You're following the ways of the world, and they're leading you down a very dark path. You're miserable, you're bitter, you're angry, you have no peace. But there is a way that will bring you life, and that is through Christ. Surrender to Him today. Accept the sacrifice of His Son. Receive His salvation through the repentance of your sins, and know what it's like to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit fill you to the fullest measure of God's divine presence. We pray that today. May you persevere in your faith and allow God to finish the work that He began in you. In Jesus' name, and amen.